إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه وبعد. My brothers, continuing on the topic of rights of the masjid, there are etiquettes and adab of entering the masjid. And when you enter the masjid, we enter with our right foot forward and we make the dua. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam prohibited from running inside the masjid. So he said, walk with dignity. Not loiter, not walk as if you are in slow motion, but at the same time, walk purposefully, but walk with dignity. Usually you find if you come late and the Jamaat is already standing, and either they are about to go into ruku or they are in ruku, then people try to run to catch that ruku. And this is against the adab of the masjid. So don't run. There's no need. The salah is not running away anywhere. Even if you join after the ruku, you still get the jama'ah. Ideally, come early. When we come to the masjid, the preferred thing is to come at least 5 minutes before the time for iqama and then pray 2 rakat of tahiyatul masjid. This is a very important sunnah which is neglected. Neglected always, anytime you neglect the sunnah, please understand, it is to your own detriment. The loss is yours. It is not Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's loss. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam specifically and very strongly emphasized the importance of praying 2 rakat tahiyatul masjid. And he said, when you enter the masjid, do not sit until you have prayed 2 rakat, and that is tahiyatul masjid. Any masjid, any time. The only exception is when you enter the masjid at a time when salah is prohibited. So if you enter the masjid at a time of tulu or ghurub, at that time don't pray. But other than that, any time you enter any masjid, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam specifically said, do not sit until you pray 2 rakat of tahiyatul masjid. And the famous hadith where Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was giving the khutbah of Jummah, a man came inside, he was going to sit down. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam interrupted his own khutbah and he told the man, pray 2 rakat first and then sit down. So it shows how important this 2 rakat is. I don't know why we neglect it. I don't know why we don't emphasize the importance of it. Please, never ever neglect that. When you enter the masjid, pray. The only time you don't pray the 2 rakat is if the Jamaat is already standing, then immediately you join the Jamaat. Otherwise, you pray 2 rakat of Tahiyatul Masjid. Second issue is, if you are praying sunnah or whatever it is you are praying, nawafil, in the masjid, you came early, you are praying some salah, sunnah or nafil, and then the iqamat is called. Now, when the iqamat is called, it becomes fard on anyone who is inside the masjid to leave whatever he is doing and join the jama'ah. Because in the iqamat, what do you say? Qad qamatis salah. You are not saying qad qamati salawat. You are saying qad qamati salah. One salah has been established, not 50 salawat. So when the salah has been established, it means that you are supposed to be part of that salah. So whatever you are doing, including if you are in some nafil or sunnah, if you are at the, say, the whatever sunnah you are praying, say you are praying 4 rakat of sunnah for salatu zuhur and you are in the last rakat, no problem, finish the salah and come and join the jama'ah. But supposing you just started the 4 rakat of sunnah of Salatul Zuhur, then leave that salah and there's nothing to do, just walk out of it and come and join the fard salah. Because if you continue to play your nafil when the fard has been established, then your nafil is not valid. So there is no sense in praying that. Come back, come and pray the fard, and then after that you can pray the 4 rakat of sunnah. And obviously all of these problems you will avoid for yourself if you go to the masjid early. Go to the masjid early, peacefully, pray your tahiyatul masjid, pray your sunnah, sit and read some Quran. And then when the salah is established, you stand for salah, alhamdulillah. So ideally that's what you should do, but for whatever reason, if you went late, this. Then the very other important thing is, as you enter the masjid, it is mustahab to say salam alaikum. But don't say salam alaikum so loudly that you disturb everybody else's salah. People are praying, say salam alaikum softly, is more than enough. It is not necessary to announce to the whole world that you have entered the masjid. So say it softly. Among the adab of the masjid also, do not speak and have some conversations and so on while people are praying in the masjid. Whatever the conversation is, whether it is conversation about dawah or you are doing a dars of tafsir, no. You go somewhere else and do it. Don't disturb people. People who come to the masjid to make salah, if they are praying, it is their right that they should not be disturbed. So do not do it, then somebody tells you, then you get offended. No. Don't talk in the masjid. There is no need to talk. You want to talk, talk outside the masjid. Once you come in the masjid, you make zikr, you make salah, you pray, you read Quran, whatever it is, and do that. If you have to go talk, go outside and talk. Then when you enter the masjid also, people have this habit. As soon as they enter the masjid, they stand in the door, Allahu Akbar, they say. I mean, really, I tell you, how are it things to teach? Seriously, when you enter the masjid, go as far forward as you can go. Because first of all, the great benefit in praying in the first saf. But irrespective, even if the first saf is not there, go as far forward as you can go. See for yourself. Don't stand in a pathway. Don't stand in a walkway. Don't stand in a place where, because of your salah, other people's movement is getting blocked. Somebody has to leave, has to come in, and he cannot come because you're praying there. No, don't do that. Do not cause any inconvenience to people. So go as far forward into the masjid, whichever masjid, go as far forward into the masjid, then you pray your sunnah, fard, whatever it is. Not fard, of course, you pray with jamaat, but sunnah and nawafil, you do that. Same thing applies to parking. Parking of your cars, parking of your motorcycles, parking of your helicopters, parking of your A380s, whatever it is, do that in a sensible manner where you are not blocking. You are not blocking other people. The Muslims park cars as if it is their God-given right to park anywhere they want just because I am doing salah. It's not your God-given. Your God-given right is not to cause nuisance to people. Park in a way where there is no problem for other people, where other cars and vehicles can pass. Don't block driveways, don't block roads, right? So don't do all that. Then somebody will lock your car, somebody will, you know, give you a ticket and then you get offended, right? Why do you do the thing in the first place? So make sure that you park properly. If there is a constraint on parking, I've said in this masjid so many times, inside parking, leave it for elderly people and so on who have to come. Younger people, park outside on the main road. There is plenty of parking. It's free parking. You park outside and you walk. You take a few steps. Good for your health also. But there's no need to, you know, already there is not enough space. Everyone wants to park their car. No, don't do that. Have consideration for people. It's very, very important. And this is one of the main reasons why anytime when you want to build a masjid in a place, you almost invariably get opposition. Why? Because of this. People say the Muslims, the moment they build a masjid, it's a big nuisance for the whole community. Because people park all over the place. We can't move our cars out. I have seen people parking their cars, blocking somebody else's gate. I mean, the guy's house is there. They park a car in front of the gate. What sense does it make? What sense does it make? How can you block somebody's gate? I mean, this you need. Someone has to tell you that don't block someone's gate. I mean, completely mafi mukha. I don't know what the sense is. So seriously, I mean, make sure that you park your cars properly, right? And then when you come into the masjid, go right in front, and then you pray whichever side. Then issue of saf. Very, very important. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to make a big deal about the straightening of the saf. And he used to say the straightening of the saf is from the iqamati salah. He says part of the iqamati salah to straighten the saf. He used to walk for all through the saf. He used to walk in the front. He used to carry an arrow. He used to carry something and push people back and make sure that they are all standing in one line. This is part of our discipline in salah. So make sure that your saf is straight. Make sure that your shoulder is actually touching the other person's shoulder. Don't worry if he's poor. Don't worry if he's, you know, if according to you his clothes are dirty. Don't worry if he's not wearing an Armani suit. You touch his shoulder. That is very, very important. And for that, it is important that you don't stand with your legs far apart. This is another problem. People, their feet are so far apart that the shoulders cannot touch. Hadu bainal manakibi wal aqdam. First the manakib. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, first the manakib. So first touch the shoulder, shoulder to shoulder, and then your feet. If the feet touch, alhamdulillah, this is mustahab. But that's another nuisance value. I mean, some people, they are so keen to touch the foot that they literally stamp on your foot. This is, I mean, really, we must think, you know. Now you're disturbing somebody's salah because you're stamping on the poor fellow's foot. Don't do all that stuff. Just you stand shoulder to shoulder. If your foot is gently touching somebody else's foot, alhamdulillah. But don't, you know, stamp on his foot and don't push his foot with your foot and don't do all this. It's very important for us to do that. So make sure that your saf is straight. And then cell phones, ensure that you don't download the latest musical tones. Ensure that your volume is full. And tell someone to call you in the middle of the salah, inshallah, so that you know you destroy everybody else's salah. Make sure you do all this, right? How many times to tell people, phone. Please, don't do that. I mentioned it yesterday also, I'm mentioning it today. Inshallah, if I continue, I will, every day I will. It's such a big nuisance, it is not fun. Ideally, don't bring your phone to the masjid. Give yourself some peace of mind. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, pray and, you know, have some. That 5 minutes, the world won't come to a halt. If it comes to a halt, the way the world is going, it's a good thing. So forget about it. You make sure that you don't bring the phone. Keep the phone in your house, in your office, in your car, wherever. If you have to bring it, ensure that you turn it off. Or put it in silent or something where it's not a nuisance to anybody. Put it in your pocket, forget about the phone. Finish your salah, then you go and make all your phone calls in the world. But do not allow those phone calls. Don't make the phone ring. Don't do that. It's a very, very bad thing. And I know. People, while talking, in the salah, Hanafi salah. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Kya ajeeb. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. So please, don't do all of this. The masjid is the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls to give. Allah has called us into the masjid. Go and take from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not from the phone, not from this one, that one. Go and take from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Make dua. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one to accept duas. Alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is listening. Allah likes those who ask. So ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Go to the masjid, build your connection with Allah. And then you ask Him and take from it. Another very important thing is to know the people, the musalleen of the masjid. Now, obviously, if you go to Jumu'ah, to a Jamia masjid, we don't expect to know everybody there. But definitely, your masjid in your locality, in your muhalla, in your neighborhood, where you pray every day, we must know each other. You know, how many people are there who do not even know the names of the people who pray with them every single day? You know the person by face. You can recognize that person. This person is... But do you know his name? Even just the name, do we know who the person... We do not even bother to ask the name. Whereas we should ask their name, we should know about them. I'm not saying you launch an investigation into their life. That is not required. But at the same time, actually know something. If the person is not looking to... Assalamu alaikum, brother, you know, what's... Are you okay? You are not looking very happy. What happened? Is there anything I can do for you? Can I help you? This is the whole point of being in the masjid, that we have concern for one another. So please ask people's names. You give them your name. Introduce yourself. Get to know the people who are with you and then inquire after them, how are they, so on and so forth, help each other. This is all part of the etiquette and part of the adab of the masjid. The masjid is the heart of the Muslim community. Everything starts with that. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, all barakat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala descend on the masjid, then from the masjid they go everywhere. Your rizq descends on the masjid and from the masjid the rizq goes anywhere. The masjid is a source of great barakah and rahmah for the community. And if you are a neighbor of the masjid, you are the neighbor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Your neighbor is Allah because you are the neighbor of the masjid. It's a great, great, great blessing to live close to a masjid. I know people who have given up huge houses in the UK and so on. I know people who are living in row houses, small row houses, council houses, which the government has sold, council houses next to the masjid. One day I was in a masjid in, I think, Nuneaton or Leicester or somewhere, and I saw this Mercedes standing outside the council house. The Mercedes was bigger than the house. So I said, who's got such a huge car? He said, no, that man is a billionaire. He had a huge big mansion somewhere. He sold it and he bought this council house and he's living here because he's across the street from the masjid. People with good sense. So if Allah has given you the masjid as your neighbor, then remember Allah is your neighbor. And what did Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam say about the right of the neighbor? He said, your neighbors have a right on you 70 houses this way and that way. So if you are the neighbor of Allah, it is your right on Allah as my neighbor that Allah looks after me.
Eh? If Allah is your neighbor, then it is Allah's job to look after you because He is your neighbor. But you have to treat the neighbor like a neighbor. You treat the neighbor like a stranger. You don't want to go to the neighbor's house. You don't want to talk to the neighbor. You don't want to meet the neighbor. You grumble and complain about the neighbor. Then the neighbor is not your neighbor. Then you go and live somewhere. What, do whatever you want. Seriously, seriously, you know, respect this. Thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Go into sujood and say, Alhamdulillah, Ya Allah, you made me your neighbor. Alhamdulillah, I have a right on you. If I need something, I go to the neighbor's house. Please give me this. I am your neighbor. This is my right on you. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us to have the value for the masjid and to treat the masjid as it is the right of the masjid that we should treat it. And finally, to inshallah conclude this topic, Jummah. Special rule for Jummah. When you enter the masjid for Jummah, then you pray your two rakat tahiyatul masjid and then you sit and read some Quran and so on. The khutbah of the Jummah. Now, usually you have two methods. One is like what we do here and most masajid of the Ahnaf, which is that we have a lecture or a talk before the khutbah. To listen to that lecture is not fard. If you don't want to listen to the lecture, that's fine. But that's very stupid because then why are you there, right? Because if the imam is talking something, then you sit and listen to that. But, I mean, it's not fard. So that's up to you. But once the imam is on the mimbar, once the khatib is on the mimbar, then every other activity becomes prohibited. It is prohibited once the imam is on the mimbar, it is prohibited for you even to read Quran. It is prohibited for you even to make zikr. You are supposed to listen to the khutbah which is being given from the mimbar because that khutbah has the same status as salah. In that khutbah, if somebody says salam alaikum, you are not supposed to say wa alaikum assalam. Even if somebody is doing some stupidity which you really think this is nonsense, you should stop. Even that you are not supposed to do while the khutbah is going on. So remember that. Sometimes you find people while the khutbah is going on, they are chatting, they are talking, they are doing all kinds. This is all completely wrong. It is against the adab of the Jummah. That is why the Jummah is a combination of two things, the khutbah and the two rakat of Fard Salah. This is our Jummah. So it is like, say if it is, for example, if it is four rakat of Salah, you know, the first two rakat is the khutbah and the second two rakat is the Salah that we pray. So it is has the same level of importance as the Salah itself. So don't do anything else. Again, once again, go to the masjid early, pray your two rakat of Tahiyatul Masjid, pray some Nawafil if you want, pray Sunnah, whatever it is, you pray, you read some Quran, right? And then you sit down and listen to the lecture, listen to the khutbah, pray your Jummah, and then you go home. Now, different madhabs have different issues. Some for the Ahnaf, they pray four rakat of Sunnah before the Jummah itself, and then they pray another four rakat after Jummah, and then they pray two rakat. The Shafi'is and the Hanbalis and so on, we just pray two rakat of Tahiyatul Masjid. After that, you listen to the khutbah, you pray two rakat of Fard. And after that, if you are in the masjid, you pray four rakat of sunnah. And then, or if you have to leave early, you leave early. And then when you go home or wherever it is, you pray two rakat of sunnah. So, alhamdulillah, whichever mazhab you are following, you follow that. Whatever is in you are supposed to do in that mazhab, you follow that. So, that is not my purpose here to explain the mazhabs. My purpose here is the adab of itself, the adab of the Jummah and so on and so on. And even and also when you sit for the Jummah, for the lecture and so on, sit in a way where you give space to people. Don't spread completely out and, you know, sit where people have to stand and so on. So consideration is a very, very, very important part of Islam, which we seem to have forgotten, but let's not do that. So this is this is the issue of Jummah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us to do that which is pleasing to Him and to help us to treat the masjid as it is the right of the masjid to be treated. And we ask Allah to fill our lives with barakah thanks to His masajid and to fill our lives with
and to accept our du'as. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to please with us. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajmain bi rahmatika ya rahman rahim.